Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
The Lord wants to do a thing, I believe, today. He wants to connect His heart to your heart. It's like a cord in the Spirit, like a soul tie, only better. Like a tie to Him that pulls you into Him. He wants you to become so part of Him, your spirit man, not your flesh, of course, but your spirit man, to become so unified with Him that being with Him becomes normal, that it becomes your normal place. And He wants to bring you to a place where you know, let's say you're in the middle of a store and people are yelling, but you can just flip a switch. And it's, you have to understand, you're flipping a switch away from your flesh, right, into your spirit man, because your spirit man is connected to Him. And so the problem is that we're so connected to the earth. We're so focused outwardly. We're so focused through our mind, body, soul, and spirit. But today, hallelujah, I believe He wants to not just teach you, but show you. Because I can talk about this and have talked about it for years, but I believe people need to understand what that feels like. So I'm asking the Lord, I'm asking Him to make that connection and draw each person in to that place in Him. Actually made to live inside Him. You were made to fellowship with Him, heart to heart, not brain to brain. Harder for you because it requires some slowing down and looking inward, because your born again spirit, if you can understand this, is seated with Him in heavenly places and sometimes in Him. And that's a place where you can live out of it. God wants some real encounters in here today. So ignore your flesh, ignore if you're too warm or too cool, or ignore your flesh, ignore any other distraction, any worry you might have. For now, leave it behind and go with the Lord. Lord, connect. Thank you. say, even under your breath, my home is in the Spirit. My home is in the Spirit. My life is hid with Christ in God. You want to talk about safety and protection? He who abides under the shadow of the Most High. Right? It's a safe place. It's a place of protection. Under the shelter of his wings. Nobody can get you there. There's places in heaven no devil can go. No devil, I said. That's why sometimes in the presence people are healed. God wants us to become experts at the presence. Touched one of you. Some of you, there's one person in here feeling fire right now. God says there's more. Start pulling. If you don't know how to pull, there's something to gain expertise. That you're in a room with someone that you know has a powerful anointing. Let's say it's, I don't know, I can think of as Reinhard Bunke, he's home with the Lord, but let's say that you're in a room with Reinhard. There's a thing you can do in the Spirit to pull. And you, if you know the person is pure only, okay? Don't ever do this if you're not sure. You know, you don't want a mixed bag. But as you pull in the Spirit, you can receive some other gifts and anointings. Jesus stand. I don't often see him stand. And I heard him, he was lovingly looking at his children. And he was saying, you don't really know me. You know about me. But I want you to really know me. I want you to know my heart. I'm not like anyone you know. Never met anyone like me, he says. You've never fully understood perfect love, the place of protection in God. I want you to know that place in me. Befalls you, no matter what happens, no matter where you find yourself or how much noise there is, even if it seems not safe, you just pull back inside me, your safe place. Say, come into the garden of heaven. There's so many things I want to teach you, and the time is so short. It's true, I'll be able to teach you in heaven, but I'd love to teach you now. Because if you learn some of this, he says, if you learn from me, I can make you wise. I can make you the wisest among men and women, so that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, always knowing what the answer is from me, not from you, because you know that your head doesn't have it, your opinions don't have it, but I have it. I want to introduce you to the Garden of Heaven, the Garden of Eden, where I fellowship and commune with you face to face. Because I want you to become my representatives in the earth. Bride, my beloved, come into the garden, sit with me, and let me teach you, not just today, but for hours on end. It's a place. I died for you to be able to come to this place. I died to open the way back to the Garden of Eden. I died in order to give you a spirit man that can come to heaven. Your flesh could never have done it. But when I redeemed you, when you were born again, your spirit man had open fellowship with the Father in a way like never before. So come, not just in meetings, but when you're at home, when it's late at night, when it's early in the morning, when you find yourself alone, or sneak away to be alone. And let me teach you, let me give you the wisdom of heaven. It's called the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Imagine what it would be like for me, he says, if I had thousands of people that were true ambassadors, that spoke as heaven speaks, that teach as heaven teaches, that say exactly what I'm saying simulcast. When I release it, they say it. And when I stop, they stop. When I smile, they smile. When I frown, they frown. Imagine what that would be like for me, he says. Because that was the intention, to manifest myself through my people. But it can only be done as you practice the presence, practice living in the place of God, practice living there. There's someone you have this, it's like you're carrying this big bag of rocks. And this it's like you have this big burlap sack full of stones, and it's huge. The thing weighs a ton. You can't even carry it. You're actually dragging it around everywhere you go, and it's all your worries. And the Lord is saying this, I want to say it lovingly, but the Lord is saying, that thing is an idol. Anything that comes before me is an idol, and when your worries come before me, dump them. Throw caution to the wind and dare to believe that I know what's best for you. Throw caution to the wind, you worrier. Dare to believe that I have more of a vested interest in you than you do. And you say, but what about my family? Who loves them more, you or me? Who loves them more, you or me? Let them go. Put them on the cross. Put them at the foot of the cross and give them to me. Because until you do, I can't really help them because you're in the way. You are in the way. Because I can't get past the idolatry. But when you release them, you will release me to do something in them. Somebody says, but what about my finances? Same thing, sweetie. Who cares more about your finances, you or me? In case you don't know the answer, I do. Say, but my finances are a mess. Well, that's because you're still trying to own them. Stop it. You won't find a better financier than me, says the Lord. And by the way, I would love it if my children had the means to bless the nations. I would love it if my children knew how to manage finances so that I could pour them the finances through them to help people. What do you think is the best witness? If I had true ambassadors in the earth, you're ambassadors in name and I love you, but I want to make you true ambassadors that really embass, that carry heaven and show heaven. Why do you think I made the Jewish people so wealthy, so prosperous? I was making a statement, this is who I am, these are my kids, and they can change the world with their research and their development and their wisdom and their inventions. Their talent, their knowledge, they bless the whole world. They've learned how to give, how to help the poor and needy, how to truly bless people. That was my will. That was my desire then, and it is my desire now. Stop being such a chintz. Stop being a chintz. Live for God, and He will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Stop trying to manage everything for Him. He doesn't need your help. I am changing you who are willing. I am changing you. I'm changing you from the inside out, though, not by some religious means. Some of you are kind of come into a place of the presence and you walk out and say, oh, wow, I feel freer. That thing seems to be gone. That attitude is gone. That issue is gone. But the presence is what changes us. That connection, that divine connection in the spirit, it changes us from the inside out. Holiness isn't something you do. Holiness is an outworking of the presence and the connection. Let me show you my holiness. It's nothing like you've thought of. Let me reveal myself to you. The coals on the altar. I want to bring you into this place, but I need your willingness. I will never drag people in. I won't do it. I want people who want me. I want people who want me enough to consider it worth their time, worth their effort. I'm tired of half-hearted, lukewarm. I want people who love me with a fervency to say, I don't care what it costs, I want to be near Him. Who love me enough to leave everything else behind and stop fretting and stop worrying and stop trying to live life in the flesh and be a Christian according to the flesh. You can't do it. I want a people who are wholly mine. Completely mine. I won't share you. I don't want to share you. I am still a jealous God. Read the book of Hosea. See what I think of women who cheat on their husband. I'm talking about my bride. Israel was going before every idol. Under every green tree on every high hill. And I compared it to prostitution. I don't want a halfway bride, half interested, half loving. Sometimes. kind of maybe it's worth it. No. Am I worthy? But if you show yourself strong to me, I will show myself strong to you. If you sow your life into me, I will sow my life into you. If you sow all that you are and all that you have and your time and your love, your dedication and your devotion into spending time with me, I will sow all of heaven into you. There is nothing that I would withhold. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. See, I want you, the real you, fellowship with you at my house, he says. I want you to know my world. And I would teach you. For hours on end, I would teach you. See, what I really want, you know what I really want? A true disciple. One who will come every day and sit at my feet and say, teach me, I don't really get it. Teach me, show me, help me understand. Teach me in a way that I can grasp it. Teach me, Holy Ghost. That's what I want, a true disciple. Not disciples in name only. There is no secret that I would not tell you if you would come to the secret place. There's nothing I would withhold from you if you would come to where I can be found. Seek me while I may be found. I'm looking for somebody to give my presence to. I'm looking for somebody to pour my love out on and in and through. I'm looking for somebody that will carry my presence and glory to the people who are clueless. All they've seen is a dry and dusty, heartless church. All they've seen is a pseudo, synonym, wannabe, half-hearted. I need them to see me in you. But you can't get that through head knowledge. Study is good. Please study. That's good. But you can't get this through head knowledge. It must come through your spirit man, through your heart, through connection, through being in love with the Savior. Make it your business to learn the business of heaven. Make it your business to learn the way things work in heaven. To sit at my feet, to sit on my lap, to sit inside me, yes, even inside me, as a baby is inside the womb of its mother, yes. Drinking from the umbilical cord of God. I have such a plan for you. But do you know that most humans never fully walk out their plan? Most humans, even the ones who love me, never fully see their whole plan. Because they figure out what they think it is, and then they figure out how they think they should do it. But Paul figured it out. He said, it's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. He had come into the place of unity with Christ. I give to you in the secret place. All that I have, I give to you. Come and get it. Releasing. If you know how to pull, start pulling. Because God is releasing something. Someone just got unhooked, you know. There is a God connection here. I feel like it is never going to be life as usual for those who are dedicated to Christ. I feel like those days are past us. And people who've actually wanted more dedication than they desired more, I feel like the grace, meaning the ability of God, the gift of God to do it. You know, we don't have the ability even to do that, do we? We don't even have the ability to seek Him right or study Him, which I don't. I think that the reason that God helps me so much is that I learned early I don't have the ability to do anything right. I don't have the ability to even know how to seek Him. But He does. And so when I learned that I don't have the ability, I also learned that He wants to give His ability to me. His ability to pray when I just don't have it. His ability to fast when I'm not able. His ability to go into the secret place or to keep seeking and not quit. Keep seeking and not quit. Keep seeking and not quit. Always asking Him, take me higher. I don't know how, Lord, but take me higher. Help me get it. And over time, you'll feel barriers come down and walls come down, most of which are in us. God, believe this or not, you can actually go through the scriptures and find that God has done everything to completely open the way for us if we believe in Jesus Christ and will press in. But we're the ones that have the walls, the limits, and the barriers. We're the ones with the issue. He has already opened heaven. There is an open heaven. But most people have such limitations on their belief systems, such self-chastisement, self-doubt, self-whatever, self-focus. There's so many walls in us. Our job is to tear down those walls, those barriers, those things that hinder us. God has already opened heaven. He said, come freely, come boldly into the Holy of Holies. The door is open. It's never been shut. It'll never be shut again. So why can't we just go, oh God, take me? Well, really, it's more accurate to say, I'm going back. We say, oh God, let the presence come. His presence is here all the time, always, 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 always. I never have to worry, oh, will your presence be with me? His presence is with me. Not because I'm anybody special, but because I'm His kid. He promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Fact. So people say, well, let's worship till He comes. No, He's here from before. He was here before we got here. You don't have to wait till He comes or you feel Him. You have to believe that you are stepping into Him. You have to remove the barrier of your flesh, which is usually just unbelief. And what happens is, as other people start to flow in it, you start to enter into faith because, oh, wait, look, there's something here. You know, it breaks down. Our barriers have to be broken down. And if you can get them broken down all the time, guess what? You've got the presence all the time. You already do, but now you know it. Our job should be one of removing every limitation and mental barrier and doubt and unbelief because it's a violation against Him. If we had the guts to believe even half of what He said, we'd be flying all the time. We'd be like Philip translated. Philip's witnessing to the guy and suddenly he was not. He was found at Azotus. Poof. We have too many limitations on our thinking. And then if we say, well, I'm in faith, I believe God could do that, I believe He would do that for somebody, He wouldn't do it for me. Oh, really? Okay, well, what made you special? Oh, you're so bad. Right? All the rest of us are so good? Come on. Consider it carefully. Flesh stinks in every form. False humility stinks. Pride stinks. So that guy was prideful. Ooh. Oh, it wasn't me. And then false humility, it's just as stinking prideful as the pride is. Right? Because it's pretending, isn't it? Come on, we don't have the ability. Our flesh stinks in every form. Chuck it and move on. And dare to believe that what He did for one, He did for all. And what He did for all, He did for you. Consider carefully the story of the prodigal son. And especially the second part where the second son, the older son, you know, the I have it all together son, he says, I've always obeyed all your commands. I've always done it right. You know, if God could, if there was ever a time in the Bible where I thought God could have been a little confused, it was in this story. Like, He says, son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. Think about it. He wasn't just talking about the cow in the barn. He was talking about the presence of heaven, the healing power, the gifts of the Spirit. It's all ours. It's ours for the taking. Stop making yourself the grand exception. I'm not worthy. You never were, and I never was either. Get past it. You never will be in your own flesh. And if you're monitoring your flesh to see your worthiness, you're already lost. You weren't worthy to him for Him to die for, but He died for you. I wasn't worthy for Him to give me a born-again spirit, but He did. So I fully get that in my flesh I have nothing to offer, but I also fully get, and here's what I want you to get, that in my born-again spirit, I am the living reflection of my Savior. Do you hear me? It says, put on the new self which was created after the image of His holiness. Do you get who you are on the inside? Do you get it yet? Or are you still beating yourself up over some stupid thing? Yes, we're supposed to change. Yes, but again, it comes from the inside out. The junk on your outside will fall off as you fellowship with Him, as you worship Him, as you spend time in the Holy of Holies. Stuff just falls off. That's the way of things. That's the way He designed it. He never designed for you to work on it and file it and point it and try to make it perfect and sand it up and then go, here, is this better? No, it still stinks. It's still flesh. It's still rotten. It's still no good. Throw it out. And my flesh goes, no good thing. But in you, He's placed something of heaven. Stop looking at your outward appearance. Yes, we can be delivered. I've been delivered of tons of stuff, and I don't consider myself done with that process. Do you hear me? For me, life, the journey of life, will 100% of the time, for the rest of my life, be me saying, Lord, would you change that in me? Would you? That isn't right. What I just did, what I just thought, what I just said, that wasn't right. Forgive me, but more than forgive me, change me from the inside out. And I'm going to keep coming and hanging out with you and loving you and being loved by you. Some of you don't even know how to receive His love because you've been so inward. You're like an ingrown toenail. I don't want to be mean, but I'm trying to fix it, okay? I'm trying to fix it. You're like an ingrown toenail, jabbing yourself all the time. You can't even receive His love. His love is there all the time for you. He adores you. Does He adore everything we do now? You know, I was talking about somebody. We have just one person. Hallelujah. Sometimes in ministry you have a person or two that's just a little more high maintenance. And I was really praying to be able to love that person because in my flesh. You know, the moon, you know. But I was really seeking the Lord. How do you love someone? I said, what this person does, I said, I can't stand what they do. I know it's demonic. I know they need deliverance. So I am praying for their deliverance. It's like dealing with it. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a Christian, but it's like dealing with the devil. I went before the Lord, I said, I got to get your heart on this. You got to help me get your heart on this matter. And He said, I hate what they do, but I love them. But you know, I think He could say that about all of us. He doesn't like everything I do, right? But He loves me. He loves me. No matter what kind of day I'm having. And I want you to so get that. Because if you get that, you'll be able to walk in the freedom of the process of ever being changed without ever beating yourself to a bloody pulp over it. Good heavens, some of you waste years. Years. You know, you blow it once, you waste years beating yourself up. I talked to a dear soul yesterday. He grew up in God. He grew up in the church. Grew up in a strong faith. Pentecostal faith type church. Really, I know the church, I know the pastor, very powerful stuff. From the age of two, he was hearing the word of God. He was, by the time he was college age, he was, you know, taking it by storm for the Lord. But then he got into some photography artwork, and he was really good at it. And he became known, and he got into photographing some things that weren't great, and of course began to grow farther and farther from God, and actually finally just locked up his Bible, put it away, and said, I'm done with that. He backslid, like willfully backslid, got so far away from God, and then really got crusty, because, you know, now you're just it's just open season for the devil. Mm-hmm. So that he got just full of garbage and trash and junk in his flesh, you know. But in his inner man, there's still somebody in there that was born again. And about a year or two ago, I'm not sure when, he started to, you know, he hit rock bottom, because sin will make you hit rock bottom. You know, sin opens the door to the devil, who will clobber you, and sooner or later you'll hit bottom and say, I need to go back to God. And that's what happened to him. So he began to come back to God. It was very hard because he had so many years of crust, you know, crustiness. And he began to come back to God, and he said he would go to church and cry from the time he walked in to the time he'd just cry and cry and cry and cry. Did God ever stop loving him? No. God is extending his hand to him. Even now, you know, as I'm on the phone with this guy, God's talking to him about healing his brokenness and certain things that were done. This is what he said to the man. He said, you did have some sin and you had some open doors to the devil. But what that, he showed me like a guy that went after him and it looked like a rabid wolf, like fangs going for the jugular. And he said, you did have an open door, but what happened? That was not right. And he wanted to heal him of this terrible thing that had happened years ago. See the love of God? Despite how we sometimes manifest, God loves you. He wants to make you shine in this earth for Jesus Christ. He wants you to be, I'm just going to say it, not just a reflection of him, but could we say almost a manifestation of his love, his goodness, his words. You know, we'll probably never get it 100% right where we're just, you know, I hope we do. I don't know if we'll ever 100% be in the Spirit we want to, and that's our goal, you know. But when you're deep in the Spirit, you just know. You're saying a sentence and all, you're like, oh, that's done. Shut up. God is silent. Shut up. Oh, God is saying this now. Oh, he's moving here now. Oh, he's doing. See, it's a thing you grow in. You grow in it. It's like learning to play golf or play tennis or any other sport. You don't just learn it by reading a book. You cannot. You have to do it and do it and do it until you know how it feels, until you understand the way it is. And the more you do it, the more you kind of just know. You just kind of know. You say, how do you know? I just know. How do you know? I just know. But from years and years and years and years of sitting in that place. And not enough. If I had it to do over, I'd spend many, 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 many more hours with him, sitting with him, pressing into him, finding him. How do you find him? You ask and seek and knock. And don't quit. Come on, you know the Greek, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And it shall be opened. He who seeks me will find me when he seeks me with all his heart. It's the half-hearted that don't get in. It's the 90%ers. Oh, I'm 90% sold out to Jesus, but I got this one little thing. I'm not going to deal with that. They can't get in, and they don't know why they can't get, why isn't it working for me? I was talking to a dear soul the other day, and she was saying, I finally get it. You know, I kept trying to make this thing happen, and I finally get that God is taking care of them. Like, I didn't want to say, oh, thank God. You're really hard to be around. We got to stop trying to fix it in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you a secret. The things of God, quite often, it'll happen as a thing with God. If you're pure-hearted, be pure-hearted and you won't be deceived. The best offense against deception is to be pure-hearted enough to say, I only want your will and not mine in every area. Then it's hard for the devil to deceive you. If you come to God and you go, tell me what I want to hear, the devil can slip in. Okay? The best protection against deception is to be holy his. But as you keep coming in and you keep seeking and knocking, and I, to this day I still say, I don't really understand, Lord. Help me understand this. Show me this. Teach me that. You know, he's given me lots and lots, hours upon hours, thousands of hours of understanding that was way beyond anything that I could have grasped or put together. And he always does it with the scriptures. You know, because you got the scriptures in you if you've been reading. And he uses those scriptures, and suddenly they come to life in a way no man has ever taught. You go, my God, I never saw that. Of course you didn't. Holly. You're looking in the wrong way. And he'll open, but you know, no matter how many hours, no matter how many downloads, no matter how many years, it's such a teeny tiny fraction of who he is and what's available. There's so much more. Don't ever think, I got it. You don't got it. I don't got it. Nobody's got it. We got a teeny little fraction. But God desires for us to walk in the fullness. He said that we might grow up in all things into him, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What would it be like for him? if he had some people who could manifest him, speak with authority, speak with boldness, speak with power, and yet with tenderness and love, caring for the broken, the hurting, the poor, those who have no hope, those who will never get it. There's some people in the body, they don't have the ability. You know, there's some people, just to be really honest, who mentally don't have the ability or the faculty to understand certain concepts. We can have faith for them. We can go to bat for them. Our job is to help them. It says be patient with those who are weak in faith. Be patient with them. Be gentle with them. What if we could manifest him, not just in a meeting, but to the people on the street? What if we could manifest him to people who are in the middle of a riot? What if we could say, you know, I can see that you're angry, but I also see you at 8 years old when your father beat the tar out of you and you said, I'll never let anybody hurt me again. Come on, think about it. What about it? God wants to manifest himself to humankind. And I'm amazed, but he has given us the honor and the privilege of getting to make the choice to be the one or not to be the one. It's up to us. It's up to you how far you go in God. It's not up to God. I knew for years that I was called, and I thought, well, when you're ready, God, you'll just dump it on me. No, no, God was always ready. He was waiting for me to become prepared. He was waiting for me to change my vessel. He was waiting for me to spend enough time to break off the crud and the junk and get free and change. Because you have to change to carry the presence and not take it for yourself. You have to be changed. Because a mere mortal in our stinking flesh, we can't carry the presence and not junk it up. I'll tell you the truth. But in your spirit, man, if you can grow to a place where that has the preeminence. God, Paul said, I bring my body under. What if you could be turned inside out? So that instead of encountering your flesh, your issue, your opinion, your doctrine, people encountered him in you. Some of you might remember the story that Edgar used to tell about looking in the mirror. He had heard this teaching that you can't love other people if you don't love yourself. He'd heard a teaching. You can't love other people if you don't love yourself. So he had this thing he would share. I never understood it. For years, I didn't understand it. And he would look in the mirror. He looked in the mirror the first time, and he looked in his eyes and said, I love you. And then he laughed because he thought it was so stupid. And then he came again, and he looked in the mirror, and he said, I love you. And he laughed because it seemed ridiculous. And the third time, he looked in his eyes, and he saw Jesus Christ living in him. And he said, I love you. And see, Edgar was a man that got it. He couldn't teach it. He didn't have the ability to teach it, but he understood. I remember at the end of his life, he'd say, I know who I am. I want you to be able to say that. I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ is in me. I've put aside all the junk, the lies of the devil, the doubts of the flesh, all that trash. I've broken through the limitations and the bondage and the lies. I know who I am in the Spirit. I know why I'm here, and I'm here to deliver the goods to you. I'm here to deliver the goods to the earth. God wants you to know who you are. Without apology, there comes a place where you know who you are in him, and he knows, and you both know, all the frailties and imperfections of your flesh. You both know that, but you also both know who you are in the Spirit, and that when you come to him in the Spirit to receive more every time, and he will never say no if your heart is right. You keep your heart right, God will never say no to you. Never. No good thing will he withhold. I could pretty much ask God for anything in faith because he will give it to me. Not because I'm a good person, because I'm not, my flesh thinks, but because I get the system now. I'm telling you, this is the gospel message. And I'm telling you it's not being taught as it should be, because it can only be taught by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Most people have never encountered the reality of the throne room. And this today was really special. I felt like God wants to connect you with him in such a way. And you can't do it in a day. It's a lifestyle. It's you set your course. I remember in my 20s, I remember the moment I set my course. I didn't have a clue about what the Spirit of God was. I didn't have a clue about the spirit realm. I didn't know anything. But I knew somebody who did. And she said these words. under the fire and the power of the Spirit. She said, I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, and it's called the walk of the Spirit. And I knew that this woman knew what she was talking about. She carried the fire and the power and the authority of God. She carried it. And I remember saying, God, I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to spend the rest of my life finding out. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about houses, lands, farms, relationships, marriage. I don't care about none of it. This is what I want. I want you. I want the walk of the Spirit. I don't even know what that means. Teach me that. And I've never stopped seeking Him for that. And I will tell you, she was right. I don't know much, but I know one thing. There's a high road to success, victory in every area. Does it mean there's not a fight? No, there's always a fight. But you always get to win if you stay in Him.
Yeah.
It's so easy if you'll just do it. It's what's hard is getting people to do it. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's so simple if we'll do it. Have no idols, seek Him. Have no idols, seek Him. Break the unbelief, break the limitations. Get yourself free from your strongholds. Get free. Just press into Him until you're free. Press into Him until you're free. Press into Him until you're free. Don't quit. Because a day will come and you'll look back and go, by golly, this is the high road to success. And it's easy to walk in victory. It doesn't matter what the stupid devil does. Because he doesn't have any authority. I'm telling you, when you're walking in heaven, he can't get there. When you worship in the holy place, you know devils. They can't come there.
That's right.
They can't be there. They have no authority there. You have a higher authority in the realm of the Spirit than the devil does because Jesus stripped him and gave the authority to you. But you can only know it when you're walking in God. So I hope that made sense. I pray with all my heart. I want everyone, I don't mean to sound like this, and I don't want it to ever sound like I got something, you know. But I do have something. And I want everyone to have what I have, because if they could have it, they would know joy. They would know peace all the time. You could walk in peace all the time. Anytime you need peace, peace. It's a place. It's home. And I want every believer to have it. And so that you say, man, Holly, you've been preaching this for forever. Yes, I have. And every once in a while, somebody goes, I get it. I finally get it. I get
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And I go, woo, it wasn't in vain. Woo, I just spent 20 years and it wasn't in vain. Actually 30.
Amen.
So, Father, I ask you for my brothers and sisters here that they will know the place of the Holy of Holies, that they will know the place of freedom and understanding who they are in the Spirit and who they are in the flesh and why you've solved that problem for all eternity. I pray that they will know that everything you did on the cross, you gave us everything we would ever need. All things that pertain to life and godliness, you already gave to us. You gave it to us, past tense. We just have to learn how to walk in it. I pray that everyone here, Father, they will set their course and that will become more of a thing, more of a decision as they grow older, not less. But they'll never be discouraged. They'll never be turned away from the course of righteousness, that they'll continue to seek more and more and more and more as the day approaches. And Father, I pray that by the time Jesus returns for us, or the time that we go home, that we'll be able to say, I did it. I ran my race. I finished my course. I did the plan that He had for me in its fullness, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I pray every single person in here come to that place, Father, where they'd be able to honestly say that before God. Yes, I blundered. Yes, I made mistakes, but I did the thing you put me on the earth to do. That's my desire for them, and that's what I ask for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.